Welcome back for part two of Take Your Homeboy to Workday podcast. We'll pick up where we left off. But before you go, we need your help to spread our message. So please subscribe, like, and rate 5 stars wherever you get your podcast and on LinkedIn at Take Your Homeboy to Workday podcast. Thank you. Enjoy. Now, I want to ask the next question. I want you to think abstractly. And so imagine I hired a painter for you and they want to commemorate your job, what you do, into a painting or a drawing. What would you tell them to draw? How would you describe this career in a painting?
Oh my goodness. I would say, wow, there's so many. That question just brings so many different scenarios in my mind.
We'll give two that if you like. Feel free to share two if you want. Yeah.
I was going to be really funny about one, but I was a painting of me just kicking down the door. No, I'm kidding. I would say a probation officer who is out in the field, which means going out to do home visits, and they're shaking the hand of their offender. I would say that would be the painting that I see, because they're out there making sure the community is safe, but they're also, you can clearly see the relationship that they have with the offender. It's a good one. They're shaking hands. Everybody's smiling. That's what I would say would be the best painting.
Although I did like the one
where I kick in the door.
Kicking the door down? Yeah, maybe there's a way we could blend both of those images together. Maybe I could find us how to blend those images. Yeah. Because I have a good image of you. I guess, what shoes are you wearing when you kick down this door?
Oh, I'm wearing my tactical boots. Oh, yeah. Okay. I only wear those. Yeah, my tactical boots for sure, because you just never know sometimes when they move to these new places where they're going to stay. I remember I had to actually climb up into a mobile home because it was on stilts, like it was on bricks. And I said, how am I going to get in here? I literally took a running start and rolled into the house.
What?
I'm only 5'3", you know, I couldn't climb in there. So I'm like, let me just take a running start and kind of just throw myself into this house. You know, every time I go out, you know, I have to be prepared. I got on my tactical pants. I got on my tactical boots. Yeah, you just got to be prepared. You know, you never know.
Right. And you know what, since you brought it up, I guess let's go ahead and talk about what has been the most unpredictable experience you've had while being out there or working with an offender.
I would say, wow, where do I...
Right, I know. I imagine your list is long.
I would say a curfew check. Because they literally do not know when we're coming, and she answered the door completely naked. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, I know it's 12:30 in the morning, but wow. You just don't expect that, right?
I guess this is her way of getting back at you. You pop up on me, I'm going to, this is where I'm getting back.
Right. I was like, okay. Yes, absolutely. I would say that's probably one of my favorite stories. Also working with law enforcement too, sometimes you need the canine unit to do some sniffing. So we do partner up with other law enforcement agencies like the police, the sheriff's office, to help us sometimes with transporting. Because we can arrest, we do arrest, we have arresting powers, but we do not transport. That is for the police to do. So one of my favorite stories is working with the canine unit. This particular offender had come out of her house and took off. So just being there for the search and seeing the little canine, oh my God, he was so cute. His name was Diesel. And he just wanted a piece of so bad. You know? But he didn't get a piece, you know. They were able to get her before he was able to be let loose. So once that happens for the canines, they actually have to bite on something. So just seeing the trainer put the glove on and letting the canine just kind of, you know, bite them and get that out of their system, that was pretty fun. That was one of those fun times that we worked with other agencies. So yeah, I would say those two probably my favorites.
Very funny. Thank you for sharing those. Now, with these next two questions, I kind of want to look at probation officer with a little bit of a critical eye. And I guess the first question is, like, you know, we're coming out of the pandemic, and then with, you know, technological advances, how do you see the probation officer role evolving over the next couple of years? You know, what changes do you see coming to this job?
So the thing about probation and law enforcement that I love is that our training is ongoing. We never stop training. And oh my gosh, we have to stay one step ahead of the criminals. Every day, like you said, there's new technology, there's new weapons, there's new drugs. You know, fentanyl is taking over, and it's not your heroin, you know, it's not your cocaine. This is a new synthetic type of drug that is killing people by the hundreds. So making sure we stay abreast of all of that. So like I said, our training is always ongoing. There's different training that we have to do. I think that we do a really good job of making sure that our officers are all prepared. Funny thing is, when I got into it, I was over it. I said, why are we doing so many trainings? Like, I can't even do my job. Like, I'm over here training one week, I'm over here the next week. But I realized as time went on, it's for the best. I see probation continuing to evolve as the criminals evolve. That's where I see it going. Yeah, we just... because we're already on top of things, I feel, as of right now in probation. Of course, there could be, you know, better ways to do things, but I think we are really getting a grasp of it and making sure that we stay ahead of the game.
Makes sense. And since you actually, you know, you brought up training and continuous learning, you know, what are some sources that you use to, or I guess, you know what, even a better question, if you're able to share, what was the last training that they had you go on? Like, what's an example of a training, a continuous learning that they have you do?
Continuous learning, we started doing our substance abuse treatments, the different types of treatments that offenders may need, learning to use Narcan just in case you have a probationer come into the office and they are high and need assistance. So that was my last training, just learning how to use the Narcan, being able to assist if I need to. There is one coming up that I have to take about gangs. So there's some new gangs out there that I need to be aware of. So that's coming up in the next 2 weeks. And also for the year, I actually have defensive tactics training. I have to qualify for that every year. So that's going to be actually this Wednesday coming up. Always keeping sharp, you know, always making sure that I'm able to defend myself. So, I would say I have training probably once a month.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. It's so interesting to learn. So thank you. Now, let me ask you this. I know this is, you were really passionate. You wanted to do this role to help, but I imagine there was something, you know, there was maybe parts about the job that you couldn't predict or weren't aware of, I guess. So what has been, I guess, either a professional experience that you weren't prepared for, or I guess, what is one thing about the job that you weren't expecting that maybe causes you stress or frustration that you would like, you would have loved to told your younger self, hey, be prepared, watch out for this when it happens. What did that question come across clear?
Yes, it did, actually. I would say being a public servant, you really have to want to do the profession. Just like teachers, a lot of our pay is not great. So you're not going to have a lot of people running to this career. The state of Florida is trying to change that. We have gotten a raise we did last year, and another bigger raise is coming this year. So I would say the money part of it, I love, you know, the criminal justice system and learning about it and being a part of it. But I would say that was the one thing that I was like, oh man, like, I love it. You know, because I did, when I was living in D.C., I was working in the private sector as a background investigator. So the funds were so much better. But once you take that step into the public sector, you're really going to lose a lot of the money that comes with doing the profession. So I would say that would probably be the one thing I was not ready for.
Gotcha, gotcha. Okay. Now, you know, as you think about your career, you mentioned already that you've already received one promotion, correct?
Correct.
Okay. What is your, you know, as you are building the foundation for your career right now, what is your dream job? You know, what are you building up to right now that you want to go to next? I know you said the next probation would be, promotion would be to work with sex offenders. But I guess what is, you know, where do you see this career taking you? What job, what's the dream job you would like to hold that's within this career path?
So, yes, it's funny you said that because I was talking to the higher ups. They brought me into the office. They really would like to see me promote to a sex offender officer. I haven't even been a senior officer that long, but they see it in me. You know, they said I have the empathy and the compassion for that particular position. So, yes, I would love to promote to being a sex offender officer. But after that, my goal, I would say, would be to sit on a parole panel. Working in probation, I can see, yes, I can see the after effects of what happens when you do come out of prison. Will you do well? You know, I think that would be an amazing thing. To sit on a parole board and really make those tough decisions.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I guess, and how do you see that, like the parole, working on the parole board, I guess, what's that work like? I mean, could you, I know you're not there yet, but could you break down what that role is? Cause I have an image in my head based on, once again, media, but what is it? What is that role actually like?
So the best I could give you would be almost like Shawshank Redemption. If you know,
that's
that
exactly
movie.
What I was thinking about. And yes. You just read my mind. That's crazy. That is crazy. Yeah, that is literally the image. That's the, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, so when Morgan Freeman continuously went before the board and they're like, no, you know, so many years, that would be what I would give the layperson to imagine. But of course, it's not quite like that, but it does give you an idea of what a parole board does. They do make those tough decisions. Is this person ready to live among society? Will they be a contributor to society? You know, will they be able to make it? And you already know, in that movie, the older gentleman could not hack it. He got out early and it was just kind of this, he could not really get it going, you know, with his life outside of those prison walls. So that would be what I am looking to do, to say, yes, you can make it. Or, you know, maybe not this time. I really want to be able to look and do my research into the person, really look at what their crimes were. So for me, that's the upper echelon. You know, all of this, what I'm doing now is that foundation, getting an understanding of how a person, you know, will do once they are done with prison or once they're done with probation. I'm really just laying the foundation.
Gotcha, gotcha. Thank you so much for that explanation. And you know, I can't believe I actually forgot this question, but thank you for reminding me. One of the things I love the audience to hear is actually about how much you can make. You know, would you be willing to share, you know, the salary? If you're not, you don't have to share your own. You can share ranges if you feel more comfortable. But, you know, what's the salary that a probation officer can make? You know, how much could you make during the academy and training? How much do you make coming out those first couple of years? Yeah, what's the salary of a probation officer?
So when you first go into the academy to become a probation officer, you're sitting right about $42,000. Once you are done being in the academy and you've finished everything, now you are a probation officer. Now you're starting at the $47,000 range. When you start doing promotions, that's when your ranges go higher and you're able to make more money once you promote. But again, for the cost of living, for what we do, the state of Florida, and I know everyone hates him, but Governor Ron DeSantis is looking at, okay, it's not working. Our recruitment is down. Nobody wants to do the job. They're looking at the pay. For 8 years in Florida, Rick Scott decided not to do any type of raises. So it put a stop to people wanting to continue working. They started losing officers. They started having a rough time with recruitment. So now they are really trying to make that wage gap just really expansive. And I'm glad they're doing that, because even in the time that they have given us the first raise, people have still left. It's still not enough, they say, because our work is just so tough. It's really hard. It's really stressful. And people want to get what they're owed. And I believe that. So I get it wholeheartedly. I'm 100% behind it. We do need more money to get this thing going. So for the legislature this year, like I said, the raise ranges are huge. And that's what we're looking forward to. We need more officers. We need them. Yes. In my office, we're down 3 officers. So we're having, our caseloads are way too high. I'm starting to get more cases, which is almost tough to do when you're a court officer as well. So we're really hurting right now. So if you have a want, a need to become a probation officer, do it, do it, do it, do it. Our sector is hurting really badly, and it would be great, you know, to get new people in who are excited about the criminal justice system, know, and who really want to help. So, yes, you know what? You asked me about money, and I'm giving this as it's a commercial. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem. That's also another purpose of the show, is to, if there is you know, people love what they do and they want to attract more people to what they do also. So like, where could I go to apply or to start to learn about becoming a probation officer? What website or what could I search to find out more?
Sure. You can just search the state of Florida. What's going to come up is a website called People's First. That's where all the jobs are for the state of Florida. That's where everything is. In the search bar, you can just put in, Florida Department of Corrections, and it will bring up all the positions within the Florida Department of Corrections, which will also be your correction officers. Those are those officers in the prisons. So you'll get both sides. You'll get your probation opportunities as well as your correctional officer opportunities working in the prison. Like I said, you just search and everything will pop up, and it'll be all over the state. The state of Florida is expansive. It's huge. So you can literally work anywhere. The other amazing part about it is you can transfer to any office anywhere in the state of Florida. So you really aren't locked down to a location. You really can move around the state. And a lot of officers do that. I did it myself. I was originally in Pensacola when I first got out of the academy, and I now live in St. Petersburg, Florida. So I did make that promotion to a senior officer, I'm sorry. And like I said, you can do laterals to other places as well. So yeah, you can move around the state if you'd like.
That's a great perk to be able to have flexibility where you live. So that's a great perk for the job. I guess if somebody is out there listening and potentially considering becoming a probation officer, what other perk? Well, actually, you know what? The first question I would like to ask, you mentioned compassion and empathy as two things you need to do this. What are some other intrinsic qualities that a person needs to be successful at this? Or, you know, if I have these intrinsic qualities, this will be a good career path for you. What are those?
Sure. I would say patience. throughout this career, they're going to get on your nerves. They are. It's just human nature. They're going to make you want to pull your hair out. Yes, it's going to happen. There are days where you may want to cry. it's all about really staying focused on what you are supposed to be doing, and that's helping them. Patience is key. Also, a smart idea of where you want to take the offender. You really have to sit down with yourself, look at them, look at what they've done, look at what they're doing, and just take a look and focus your attention on where they need the most help. So I would say just being smart about it, really doing your research. You don't want to use a one-size-fits-all mentality. That will not work. And you will see that very early on, because there are so many personalities in it. And just a people person. Can you talk to people with integrity and dignity? You know, I've had a couple offenders tell me, man, my other probation officer did not, you know, talk to me the way you do. I feel like a human being. And that's sad, you know, because we're all in this life thing together. And I always tell my probationers, all it takes is one mistake. And you could be sitting right where they're sitting. So there has to be an attitude of just service, serving your community. That would be the biggest one.
Wow. Well, thank you very much. Salute to you. So for anybody out there listening, if you feel like you possess these qualities and you want to give back to community and your society, this could be a great career path for you. So thank you for sharing all of that.
Can I add something else?
Of course, definitely.
Okay, I just wanted to add some more perks to the job, because I know I've made it sound just like really, really serious, and it is serious, but I do want to say flexible schedules. One of the reasons you and I could not even almost make this happen, you're not working a regular 9-to-5. Your schedule is all over the place, and it's whatever you make it. That's the one of the things that I love. I'm not locked in the office from 8-to-5. I do my field work, doing home visits at night. You have to do curfews. So you're going to be up at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., you know, 1 a.m. doing curfews. They would like you to work on the weekend sometimes. So you have that flexibility. And when they're recruiting you, they'll tell you, you will not miss any of your children's recitals, games, doctor's appointments, none of that. It is so flexible. You really can make your own schedule and have it be whatever it is you want it to be. The other perk I would say is going to be our benefits. It is the government. So literally your insurance is so cheap. I literally pay $25 and I have top tier insurance. It's the best around. It really, really is. It's so complete as well. Your vision, your dental, your doctors. And for someone like me, you know, with medical issues, it's perfect. It really works out. And I am able to go to all my doctors for little of nothing. So those are the two perks I just wanted to throw out there.
Yeah, those are huge.
goes.
No, you're good. That's the whole purpose of this. And that's once again, my mind is blown because I chose to go into sales because I didn't want to go to an office. I wanted to have control of my time and my day. And so to hear that sure. You can also get this through, you can also get that type of freedom through this career also. I mean, now I'm kind of actually interested in the work. So like, no problem. Thank you.
Right?
Thank you for sharing. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, you could also work from home. I do Mondays and Fridays. I definitely work from home those days. So, it's a really flexible career. They don't try to keep you locked to your desk. It's impossible. We have way too much to do. You're always going somewhere doing something. So I really do love that because I hate getting up in the morning. I am not a morning person. So working late is not a it's not a big deal for me, you know. But I did want to put those perks out there. Thank you so much for allowing me to.
Of course. And thank you. Thank you. So we are coming up towards the end of our episode. And now it's time for me to put you on the spot. Are you ready?
Uh-oh. Okay, let's do it.
Bet. And I feel like, you know what? I already know who one of your favorite artists is. So we'll see if you imagine this scenario. You are an A&R at a record label company, and you've just been given an unlimited budget to create a song. You can put any three artists and then one beat maker in the studio together to create a song. Which artist and which beat maker are you choosing?
Oh my gosh. Really? Come on.
I know. I gotta do it. I have to do it.
Okay. I can give you who I would like to produce this song. It's gonna be Missy and Timbaland.
Hello.
Respect. Yes. They have to be on the song. Yes. Gosh. All right. As far as the artist, God, this is so hard. My goodness. I don't even know. Do I want it to be like an R&B flow? Are we doing like a little hip hop? I don't know. Maybe I could I'll go the Mariah route and do like a R&B with a hip hop artist maybe. So I'm going to do Rihanna.
Okay.
Love her. So much. Love Riri. And then I'm going to put, Andre 3000.
Heavy hitter. Okay. Heavy hitter. Okay.
Yes. Only because they don't have a song together. That'd be dope.
I know. So no Janet? We're not putting Janet on the song? So it's Missy.
Janet has to be. What? She's my fave. She has to be on the song. Yes.
Who you kicking off? Because you had Timbaland as the beat maker, then you had Missy, Rihanna, and Andre 3000. So who you kicking off to slide Janet on there?
Oh man. Janet does work well. You know what? Janet does work well with Missy. I'm gonna have to get rid of Riri.
Well, I know that is a tough question. You know, I heard Janet is going on tour. Do you follow her? Have you heard that again?
Oh my God. Yes, she's going on tour, and I gotta figure out how I can be in the mix because her show transforms you literally. I mean, she's my favorite dancer. And I just, as a performer, she's top tier. You are literally transformed when you're at her concert. I love it. I love watching her perform. I love watching her be in her bag. It's an amazing experience.
Oh, she's definitely in her bag after this divorce. I mean, woo, she is set for life.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. And when did we get to see her perform? When did you go to a concert of hers? I can't remember her being on tour for a long time.
My last concert was 2015 in Charlotte. She was doing smaller venues. So that was my last time seeing her perform, you know. And ever since then, she's been doing just a performance here, performance there. So her going back on tour, amazing.
Yes, yeah. Awesome, awesome. Okay, well, thank you for having fun with me. I really appreciate it and answering. I know it's an impossible question to answer, but there is no right or wrong answer. But thank you for having fun with me.
yes, absolutely.
Well, Kim, I appreciate you coming on the show. This has been such a fun conversation. I knew I wanted you to come on when I was creating this concept. Stephanie has always talked about how you bring a level of compassion and bring your heart to this type of job. And so I wanted to honor that and honor you, especially for a job that is so tough and doesn't show that heart and that compassion side. You know, on TV, you always see the probation officer saying, you know, let's say the offender asks, you know, where can I get a job? And the guy says, I don't care. And I don't know. And I don't care. And like, that's the image you have of a probation officer. Right. So I wanted to first salute you for everything that you do, taking on this tough work, bringing heart into it. And I wish you nothing but success as you continue to matriculate through your career.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. I've had so much fun. If anyone is interested, you know, throw them my way. I will help in whatever capacity that I can. But yeah, I just think that with us being the silent service is what Florida has given us that title. I just want to put that out there that probation is really, really a fun career. And if you have the heart for it, do it. It is so rewarding, and it's really an eye-opening experience. You really, really, really get to see someone from the lowest part of their life to almost the highest point. It's so rewarding, and I really, really appreciate you for having me come on and explain what we actually do. Thank you so much. It's been a joy.
Definitely. And in the show notes, I'm going to put a link to your LinkedIn profile. And then I'm also going to put a link to the career section where people can learn about jobs within probation officers. So I'll make sure to put those in the show notes too.
Okay, sounds good. Now I have to go fix my LinkedIn. Thank you.
Well, thank you again, Kim, and have a great rest of the day.
Hey, before you go, we need your help to spread our message. So please subscribe, like, and rate 5 stars wherever you get your podcast and on LinkedIn at Take Your Homeboy to Workday Podcast. Thank you.